broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
I declare the decree right now. In the name of Jesus. Loose in the name of Jesus.
This is what's happening. They beat people so bad. You know, in the previous days, they are killing students.
We should be able to design a system in which people still have choices of doctors.
Are you earned reconciled, Jeff?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you separated? You ever separated?
What's that?
Are you separated from the First Lady?
Well, I don't know how you want to define that.
From a fashion viewpoint, Michelle Obama looks so comfortable.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The only news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Not only that, not only we do that, but we can throw in a couple of laughs along the way. We sing. We'll do a dance for you. I can't see it. Not yet. But we are going to be available in live streaming video very, very shortly. Not only can you see our show on live streaming video, you'll be able to download the video cast of our show as well as the audio of our show very soon at www.philhendryshow.com. Tonight we're going to talk with a man by the name of Mr. Payan Akhavan, and he is a former UN war crimes prosecutor. I think it's going to be interesting for you to hear how war crimes and crimes against humanity, these very nebulous terms that nobody really knows much about, because we hear people say, this is a war crime. Yeah, it's a war crime. That's a war crime too. Well, you know, we've got a lot of misinformation about what exactly that is. We have a lot of misinformation about what you have to prove and what you don't have to prove. And just because somebody says, yep, that looks like torture to me, and that's obviously illegal, doesn't necessarily make it so. Nonetheless, we're going to talk to him because he runs a center that documents and has documented over the last 30 years the abuses of this regime in Iran. And we're going to talk to him about how he is compiling evidence, what he is going to have to do to present this to the United Nations and eventually a war crimes court at The Hague and bring whoever is responsible to justice for. And this is just the tip of the iceberg here, folks. These recent police beatings that we've seen are horrific. But most of the criminality of this regime took place behind, what do you call it, man?
Behind the flying carpet, curtain.
Behind the flying carpet curtain. And the flying carpet curtain.
Yes.
In other words, you couldn't see it because it was a closed society. I mean, they believe some 30,000 human beings within the first 5-6 years of that regime were put to death. And it gets even better. So we only believe here in the West because we have such freedom of speech and freedom of thought, we can say whatever we want. We can accept whichever side we want to accept. And that's great. But sooner or later, you got to deal with the truth, as Governor Mark Sanford, for instance, is talking about. I don't know what he's talking about, man. I hope, we make jokes around here about doing the honorable thing, going out and blowing your brains. I wouldn't want to see this guy do that, but I don't feel sorry for him. I don't feel sorry for him at all. Our number is 87, and we're going to get into that right off the top of the thing here, man, right off the top of the ice cream sundae here. Mark Sanford, governor of South Carolina. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, behind the flying carpet curtain.
Well, behind a flying carpet. What about, behind a Persian curtain?
Behind the Persian curtain. We don't even have to have a term. So Mark Sanford, you know who he is. He's the governor of the state of South Carolina. And he was considered to be a rising star in the Republican Party. Now, I was never impressed with him myself. I'm not saying because I didn't agree or disagree with the things that he said. I look at everybody. You know this show. This show is all about taking individuals and issues individually. But I was never impressed with him. He didn't sound like he was the brightest bulb in the tree. I know that he was big with the Tea Parties, and a lot of people thought that he was a viable candidate. Maybe they thought he was a little bit of a moderate. They know there's an awful lot of conservatives in that state that don't like him, a lot of the more extreme conservatives. Nonetheless, this guy Sanford allied himself with that plank of the Republican Party that we have said over and over and over again has been the dry rot in that party's platform, and that is this so-called family values, social issue conservatism that has been the single reason why the Republican Party is getting brutalized even as we speak. Nobody wants to believe it, Everybody thinks that that's the heart and soul of the Republican Party. Well, it may be that that part of the Republican Party is the most vocal, and maybe they're the most they are the most excitable and the most out front and the most representative in terms of the amount of face time they get on television, and maybe they know how to motivate people, but they're a small part of that party. I don't know if they're a really small part, but nonetheless, they are not the whole party. Now, here we have another Republican, and before anybody asks the question, I'll answer it for you. How come the Democrats don't take this kind of crap? Because they're not the cats that are out there saying, hey, man, we got to bring God back into the school, and we got to do all this, you know, glory, hallelujah, woo! Those guys ain't banging on that Bible. Now, understand something, folks. When I was a kid, back in the old days when everybody says things were great, you probably have heard about that, haven't you? Haven't you heard about, well, you know, there was a time when we had respect. My, you know, I hate to say it, was it after 10 o'clock? My Bear Irish Rose, it was great. People back then were upset with this, upset with that. People back then were worried about the moral decay. Everyone likes to talk about, you know, back in those days, you really had a, oh, the hell we did. One thing Republicans didn't do back then, and neither did Democrats, was yammer on and on about abortion or, you know, the degrading of the American family, even though it was at that time considered to be a pretty serious issue. We had juvenile delinquency through the 50s. We had increasing drug use among the young in the 1960s. And yet these were the good old days. You know, abortion was illegal. Gay people were getting rousted out of bars. Everything was good, man. And maybe they didn't think they had to talk about any of that stuff because that was all being taken care of. But they didn't even address the very obvious problems. Nobody was talking about the increasing divorce rate. Nobody was talking about drug. Not the political parties weren't. There was a presidential councils on youth, and there were individual organizations dealing with all of these moral dilemmas and these moral concerns that the country had. But the parties were not putting them. Slamming them right down in the middle of their political platforms at conventions. They weren't talking about these things because they didn't feel that it was a viable part of presenting their case to the American people. Somewhere along the line in the 1980s, when Ronald Reagan became president, he started letting Jerry Falwell into the war room, and it continued through Bush. And when Clinton got elected, then we got Pat Buchanan standing up, and he really thought he had himself an American Revolution, that Pat Buchanan. Remember him? This is an American Revolution. And boy, he did not shy away from talking about Western culture. We interviewed him on the show about his book. I tried to be as respectful as I could. But the fact of the matter is, this guy wrote a book called Why the Second World War Wasn't Necessary. And he was essentially saying, giving the reasons that Hitler himself gave back in 1939. So what do we need you to write the book for, Pat? Along came this guy Robertson, and you know the story. And they began to foment, and they began to rabble-rouse, and they began to talk about a revolution, and American people are tired of this, American people are tired of that. And among the people that became devotees of this philosophy, this new Republican Party, was this guy here, Sanford. Family Research Council. Another guy is this guy Larry Craig, you know. He don't like those fags, right? He ain't gay. He's never been gay, never seen a gay, wouldn't know a gay. But he's in a toilet someplace trying to hit on a cop. That's how bright he is. Which, of course, is the other side of the, you know, not the other side, but it's one part of the story. These guys, you know, if, I'm telling you, if they had a brain, they'd pull it out of their head and they'd play with it. They wouldn't know what it was for. Mark Sanford is this cat who, even today, when he was given this news conference, was bringing up God. Folks, I got nothing against God. I think God's great. I personally believe in God, but it doesn't matter to me whether anybody else does. I try to treat people well. In my religion, and this is just my religion, it ain't yours, and you don't have to have it, but in my religion, they tell me, treat people well. Treat them as brothers and sisters to the best of your ability. Love your fellow man. They don't tell me necessarily in my religion to go out there and beat them up if they don't believe in a certain thing or if they're not particularly aligned with you religiously or they just see things differently. They don't tell me that. They just to go out and be an example, right? But if a guy wants to bring up God, he can bring up God. But I'm telling you, when a governor who has just been caught red-handed with some chick down in Argentina, and God knows whether it's... personally, I don't think it's a woman.
What are you talking about?
Well...
Yeah, you talking about a trans... Oh, man! That's, you think a transsexual, ain't you?
Is that what you're talking, like a tranny?
Could be. They're very famous for those down there.
Man, that... Boy, that, you ripped the lid off of it.
If you got any proof of it, I'd love to see it.
I don't know whether he actually is with a transsexual, but I wouldn't, I'm telling you, I wouldn't be surprised if it came out tomorrow that this cat was down there in Buenos Aires with some, you know, he-she or so, whatever the hell it is. I wouldn't even raise an eyebrow. Everybody else would go, but I've already prepared myself for the shock. I think he's a weird ass. When I found out about the fact that he was on the Assolation Trail, that was a tip-off right there.
Yeah, we thought he was gay, though.
He still might be. Not that that's a crime. But when you're a guy that's out there banging that Bible and talking about family values and you're parading your wife in front of everybody, just like Spitzer did, just like, you know, Craig did, just like all of these, you know, these guys are elected representatives of the people, folks. They're not necessarily a Phi Beta Kappa. They're not necessarily the cream of the crop. They're just the people that we vote for. What does that tell you about our brains? We just happen to stick these guys into public office. And along comes this guy. Now, the cat says, God, 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 God. Let me tell you something, my friend. You can talk about God if you want. That's fine. But don't bore me with it. And don't use it as a sort of a shield. You know, that that it's got nothing to do with anything. It doesn't have anything to do with anything. We got a law, and I know what the law is. The law is the U.S. Constitution.
Well, you know, God,
Well, what has that got to do with anything, man? But there is a God, the God's law. What about God's law? We're not talking about God's law. We're talking about your job. We're talking about your marriage, which you represented as being something rock solid, and you had four sons, and man, you are the man, and now you're here, you know, standing in front of everybody. And by the way, Mark Sanford is the second man in history, and only the second man in history, behind Jimmy Swaggart, to cry after he got laid. He is. Only two men in the history of the world have shed tears after getting laid. Jimmy Swaggart and Mark Sanford. After 5 minutes of apologizing to the people he's hurt, Mark Sanford in South Carolina finally admits to what the hell it was that he did. He didn't even get around to that. Here he is.
So the bottom line is this. I've been unfaithful to my wife. I developed a relationship with a... which started as a dear, dear friend from Argentina. It began very innocently, as I suspect many of these things do, in just a casual email back and forth, in advice on one's life there and advice here. But here... recently, over this last year, it developed into something much more than that.
All right, now, I don't know, what is this? This is, oh, he's resigning as the president of the Republican. Go, who, you know, you resign for more than that, man. You're done. Nothing personal there, Governor. I'm not even a South Carolina citizen. I don't know what those people have in store for you. On the national stage, we don't need another guy that's full of crap. That's all. It hasn't got anything to do with you're a bad man. I mean, you got to deal with your wife. You got to deal with your sons. You got to deal with that stuff. You're just full of crap. That's all. And we don't have the time for people like you anymore.
I'm going to resign as chair.
All right, that's enough of that. Moving on. No, here it is.
I'm going to resign as chairman of the Republican Governors Association. I'm going to tender my resignation. One, because I think it's the appropriate thing to do, given other governors across this nation and my role as chairman of the RGA. And two, frankly, just from the standpoint of time.
Now, they ask him questions, you know, does your wife know? When did she know? How did she know? Does she know? Does she care?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you separated?
Your wife care?
Are you separated from the First Lady?
Well, I don't know how you want to define that.
Well,
I mean, I'm here and she's there. I guess in a formal sense we're not. But, you know, what we're trying to do is work through something that, you know, we've been working through for a number of months now.
Did your wife and your family know about the affair before the trip to Argentina?
Yes.
Are you
for how long?
We've been working through this thing for about the last 5 months.
Now, don't cry. We got a few more questions here.
been unfaithful. Did you plan for this the first and only time you've been unfaithful?
No. What's that?
The first and
yes.
only time you've been unfaithful.
Yes.
Were you alone?
Did you break off the relationship?
Obviously not. What's that?
Were you alone?
Obviously not.
Well, he's, you know, the guy's got no credibility. He might be lying there. He lied as of today. He said that he'd been doing something, but he never admitted to this affair until they caught his ass red-handed there at the airport. And I believe it was a reporter for the South Carolina newspaper that had been doing the legwork on this. So let's give credit where credit is due. State.com, South Carolina. They took down another clown. I'm sure he's a nice man, and he's got weaknesses, and he's got problems, but he's a jackass, all right? Federal investigators triggered their investigation of Spitzer because of suspicious money transfers. It comes to my mind the dilemma that Alexander Hamilton was faced with. Alexander Hamilton got caught with a woman, and they had thought that he was making money off of the public trust, and he wanted everybody to know that he wasn't making any money, so he went public and said, "No, I'm not stealing. I'm just having sex with another man's wife." Well, we put him on the $10 bill.
Bill Henry.
World-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Now, joining us on the line right now is Margaret Gray, and she's going to talk to us about the emails. What is this? Is this...
Oh, no. This is the music that I asked Rick Dickman to...
Bud Dickman?
Bud, yeah, Bud Dickman.
Hang on right here.
You know, it's just... a little bit of music to read these emails.
I'd rather not have music, if you don't mind.
Well, I thought it would be a very nice touch. You don't want it.
No, I don't think it would be a very good touch. Okay, you're going to read some emails concerning this guy, and I think what we need to do is just get to him. Okay.
Well, first of all, Phil, I think you need to understand that what is the man's name again?
Mark Sanford.
Yes, Mark Sanford, I think, has a smoldering... There's a smoldering nature about this man that I don't think a lot of people recognize. I know he made a mistake, but listen to the passion in these emails, and I think you're going to... You may reassess this man. Now, I'm a liberal, and...
Why are you speaking in such a low tone?
Frank's in the other room, and he's watching the military channel.
Well, look at that.
I don't want to.
All right.
But listen to what is the heartfelt romance, the longing, the love that this man feels for this woman, Maria. That is her name. And if you remember West Side Story, you certainly do remember. I just met a girl named Maria, and suddenly I know. You know that song, right?
Yeah. Margaret, we don't have time for the singing. We just need to get to it.
All right. Listen, though, to the passion in this man. He writes, I suspect I feel a little vulnerable because this is ground I've never covered before. My heart cries out for you. Oh! Phil, are you listening to that?
I'm listening to that. I don't think we need your reaction.
I'm a woman, and my heart cries out for you, your voice, your body. Listen to this. The touch of your lips. Oh! That, Phil.
What is with you, man? Can you just read this?
First of all, I'm not a man. Secondly, this is something men don't understand. A woman reacts on an emotional level.
You're screaming when you read this stuff. Is it that moving?
Yes, it is. And you can ask any woman. It's very moving. Listen to this. The touch of your fingertips and an even deeper connection to your soul. I'm trying to hold it in.
You know what? That's really vile. Listening to you read that is one thing. Listening to you read that and go...
You know, men are very mental. They're very, very analytical. Women have an emotional side.
You know, if I hear that one more time, I think I'm going to go nuts. It doesn't mean you got to be on the radio while you're reading these things, going through a variety of reactions. Is that the only one?
No, there are quite a few others, Phil. And you'll forgive me for being a woman. I'm sorry. Let me just apologize on behalf of every woman out there. We're sorry, Phil. We're sorry. We're women.
Margaret, I don't doubt for a moment that it's moving. I think this, you got to keep in mind, this guy lied to his wife.
Listen to this. At 1 tomorrow, here at 5 a.m. for New York and meetings, we'll think about you on its streets and wish I was going to be there later in the month.
Yeah!
Phil.
Hang up on that. You know, sooner or later, man, we're going to get a knock on the door from the little FCC man, and it won't be about anything vile as that.
Phil Hendry.
Phil, we got a story about Transformers and the fact that there are people who saw the film when it opened and didn't like some of the characters, to wit, specifically, some of the robots seem, quote, racist. Well, what they mean by that, they mean racist, but in fact, what these characters are, they're black characters, they're black robots. They're urban black robots. They're jive, they're you know, urban, they're hip-hop robots. So, you know,
yeah, man, let me tell you what, you know, it's just, this stuff is live, you know.
I don't know how they're talking, man, but there's people coming out of there, they're flipping out on all this jazz. And I don't want to get too heavy into this, but I just want to say one thing. We got to just get with it here a little bit, okay? Relax. You know, there's all kinds of Americans. They talk in all kinds of ways. They react in all kinds of ways. We have the urban black gangster type. We have the highly educated James Earl Jones type of black person. You know, we have the "This is CNN." You know, we have we have the sort of the geek. You know, that guy that writes for the Washington. I mean, and the same thing with white folks. We have the hick Southerner. We have the New Yorker. We have the West Coast Valley girl, and all of these things. And while, of course, there's been this horrific history of lampooning the stereotype, lampooning black folks, and it's been hurtful, we got to kind of not get so crazy that artists can't even render a caricature without being labeled something that they're not. Now, look, if Jimmy DeGreek or whoever says, as they've often, you know, they can't swim. All right, now that's something that's just a flat-ass dumb statement and reflects a warped thinking. But having a couple of robots talk like they come from Compton, I don't know that that's necessarily... They're robots.
Robot? Well, where do they build them?
I don't know. Maybe they build them in Compton. Remember that robot in 2001?
Uh-uh.
Well, there was a robot in 2001. His name was Hal. Hi, Dave. He sounded about as flaming as Perez Hilton.
Are you kidding me? Now, you know that one?
Yeah, no, wait a minute. You talk about Hal.
Yeah, Hal sounded like Perez Hilton. Hi, Dave.
Oh, no way, man, no way. I love that movie very deeply. And I never, ever thought Hal was a gay bot. Never, never, never.
I mean, gay bot.
Well, like you say. You say it a gay bot.
I never called him a gay bot, but I guess... But if you listen to 2001, when I watched that movie, one of the reasons why I don't really like the movie anymore, because I'm against gays. No, I'm not. I just... the movie's dull for me, but now I've noticed that... Hi, Dave. I'm Hal. And he's like, open the pod bay doors, Hal. No, I'm not going to. And it began to get just a little light, you know, it disturbed me. So I put my hands over the ears of my children and ran from the theater screaming. All right.
I find it offensive for any actor to pretend to be a stereotypical black. It's wrong. It's very wrong.
What about you?
What do you mean, what about me? I'm black. I'm always black. I've always been black. I'll never not be black. I'll be black tomorrow. I'll be black the next day, and the next day after that. Now next week I can't guarantee. I might lighten up a little bit, but
get out of here, will you?
Hey man, I'm just gonna talk about black exorcism. But it's all right. I kind of agree with you. I think Americans are really sensitive these days.
No, you can talk about the gay exorcism.
Oh, sure. I was just saying, there's a lot of fallacious ideas that come out of religion. frequently and as a strong Christian myself, this doesn't seem pretty legit. You know what I mean? It's horse dung.
Yeah, it's horse dung. It's that. What, are you kidding me? Are they gonna drive the gay demon out?
Yeah, I mean, like, there's no such thing as gay demons. You know, there's just so much false testimony that comes out of even Christians.
How do you know? I want to ask the young man a question. Can I ask the young man a question?
Robert wants to ask you something.
How do you know? Are you religious? You raised in religion?
Sorry, what?
I said, were you raised in a religion? You raised Christian religion.
You raised up.
Yeah. Now, you don't believe that you don't believe in a gay ghost?
No, sir, I don't. I don't believe in
that. Right. There's a lot of that stuff, man.
What do you mean a gay ghost, man? I mean, this is a reflection of just an extremely ancient, early American hellfire kind of religious shamanistic ritual, man. And it doesn't have any reflection on anything. I mean, if anything, maybe the shock treatment of being exercised, maybe that'll scare the gay out of the guy or something for a few weeks. But, you know,
you definitely have to be not a sharp one to believe that.
So. Yeah, I think you need to be really steeped in that old-time religion, man. And even in America, you know, we still have religious ritual that's rooted in real ancient beliefs, you know, in exorcism. And besides, those guys sounded Baptist to me, and I think they need a priest, because the demon will only respect a priest.
Not a gay demon. Gay demon ain't gonna, because a gay demon know the priest is gay.
I'm kidding around about that. I think it's a shock treatment more than anything else, Daniel. So I agree with you, brother. All right? Thanks for calling us tonight, man. There's Daniel here in Seattle, Washington.
Well, no, wait. Just follow my reasoning on this, okay?
Oh, okay, Professor.
But really, if it's a gay demon and a priest come in, they'll never not be respectful of it.
You know, you got a good point, because the priest's gay and the demon going to go, ha, look at that, a gay man. Try to drive me out, man? What, you want to drive the gay out of here so you can hang, you can like go to a club with me?
Yeah.
Are you listening to yourself, man?
What?
Are you going to drive the gay demon out of that guy so you can go to a club with me?
That, you don't know how he talk. And for you to say that what you said about early religion, that black people only had that to hang on to. That's all they knew. And they had nothing more. And if they want to drive the gay out on a Friday night, because they have nothing to do. They can't go into town, can't go into a white restaurant, can't go to a white bar. And the only thing they have to keep them happy is to hang out on a Friday night and drive the gay out of a man. And that was a lot of what they've done.
Well, I don't believe you.
You don't believe me? I'm black. I know.
I don't give a crap if you're black. So they had nothing better to do on a Friday night than to hang around and drive the gay out of a guy because they couldn't get into white restaurants.
You can't laugh at that. You don't know.
Both of you guys are homophobes. Get out of here.
You'll see.
Yeah, there's nothing for me to see.
You believe a straight ghost?
Get out of here with a straight ghost. On a Friday night, they had nothing better to do than to hang around and drive the gay out of a guy because they couldn't get into white restaurants. All right, so what did I say? I don't know, man. Let me do this story because I was going to do the thing about the condominium. Get out of here, Barney, with this bull crap, man. Why do you got to treat every single solitary thing in America like the sky? I know we got a bad economic situation here, okay? It was getting people into these loans that caused this crisis in the first place. One of the things that caused it. Now Barney is saying, we got to get people into those condominiums. Got to get them into the condominiums. Got to loosen up the restrictions. Loosen up the restrictions. Wait a minute, man. Loosen up the restrictions? What the hell do you think we've been talking about for the last 8-9 months? We got to tighten stuff up. He's afraid that condominium complexes that have been built are going to go under because they don't have any tenants, they don't have any buyers, so he wants to loosen the stinking restrictions up. That's not what we've been talking about. What page are you on? What book are you reading? You're a good man, Barney, but you got two problems. Number one, you don't listen to anybody. You just blah, 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 blah. Any question that challenges you, you believe is a personal insult, and then you go into defensive mode. You don't see the wisdom in anybody else's statement, only your own. You got it all figured out. Every single solitary point that is brought up that is counter to yours, you feel the need to address even if you're wrong, because you can't stand being wrong. So you're always right. You don't shut up. And the worst, you know, treatment is, you know, when O'Reilly, you pissed O'Reilly off that he was just screaming and yelling. I thought he was going to come through the TV screen and strangle you with one of your Jerry Garcia ties, man. You almost died that day, Barney. You could have died. That's right. I saw you and I saw O'Reilly and he was getting hot. And even though you were in two different cities, I think O'Reilly was ready to go through the fiber optics, through the very, very small lines that connected the two of you, go out the other end, through the lens of the camera, and beat you like a protester in Bacta Devonta Square, whatever the hell the thing that's, those poor people, with a hatchet. All right, before we go to the stories we couldn't get to, I can't believe that this continues. Actually, I can believe, because you know what? This is the only thing these guys have got, and they're going to keep pounding this thing until the day is done. The editor of the World Net Daily, the editor and chief executive officer, Joseph Farah, is offering a $10,000 reward to anyone who can prove he or she was present at the birth of Barack Obama. Now, this, ladies and gentlemen, is a classic example of when we were talking about the empirical method of discovering truth. This is a classic example of an idiot that were he to apply that, he knows that he would never be able to prove that Barack Obama wasn't born in America. So he's taking the opposite. He wants to prove that he wants to prove that he wasn't born in America. So he's saying he's offering $10,000 to anybody who can prove that they were present. Now, he knows the likelihood of that is slim to none. And so then he says, because there's no takers and there's no proof, aha! No one actually saw Obama born in this country. One more question that is not answered. He knows his mother is dead, so she can't vouch for it. His grandmother's gone, can't vouch for that. Barack Obama claims to have been born in Honolulu, explains Farah, as he sat there with his thumb parked up his rear end. His entire constitutional claim to the presidency rests on this premise, yet he refuses to release a copy of his long-form birth certificate, the only document that could possibly corroborate his claim. Therefore, in the interest of truth, justice, and the Constitution, no, there's nothing constitutional about that, and I'd like to know what other president produced a long-form birth certificate to prove his birth. I want to know, and I want to know now, because unless you can tell me that other presidents had to produce the kind of proof that you're asking for, Mr. Farah, then Mr. Obama doesn't have to do the same thing. He doesn't have to do anything that you're saying because no other damn president had to do it. Well, there's serious questions. No, no, only in your mind. And if you want to go back and look at the evidence, there might be serious questions about every last cat that was ever president of the United States about where he was born, if he was born. Well, you know, and the logic of what I'm saying is lost on a lot of people. I'm telling you right now that this guy, because most of the people that read the World Net Daily are imbeciles, blithering imbeciles, bordering on almost mentally retarded, that he can get away with this. See, nobody came forward and got the $10,000, so that must mean that Barack Obama was born on the moon. No, it just means that a lot of the people that were present at his birth aren't around anymore. Oh, yeah, easy to say. No, not really. I mean, yeah, you're right. It is easy to say because his mother's dead. We got the death certificate. Or don't you believe that? Maybe she's a vampire. Obama steadfastly refused to release evidence of that Hawaii birth. Obama, I should say, has steadfastly refused to release the evidence that Farah wants, the evidence that these other jackasses want. Obama has produced the evidence that other presidents have produced. And he's not about to do anything more than that, and he shouldn't. You know, I've been resisting for the longest time talking about but we did say it before the election. I said, it was the question you shouldn't ask, and I'll never forget it. We said, how long before race returns to the table, in however veiled a form, how long before that returns to the table as the Obama presidency, moves through its first few months? And I believe that this is racial. I'm sorry. I believe it's racial, and I haven't brought these things up. Other people have talked about the racism against Obama. I haven't seen it personally. But this thing is a bald-faced, racist-motivated effort. He's black. He was traveling traveling in Asia as a kid. He's born in that weird-ass state out there, Hawaii. You know, that's almost Japan. Forget about that. He's all messed up, man. We got to find out exactly where this guy's from. Oh, you know what? McCain was born down in the Panama stinking canal, and they made about 2 seconds of an issue out of that during the campaign, and that was the end of that, and nobody was screaming and yelling all the way on up to the election day about that one. And we have evidence of other people that ran for president whose mothers were born in other countries, fathers were born in other countries, other presidents who were born in other countries. But only Barack Obama is the guy that's got to produce the long-form proof, because Joseph Farah at the World Net Daily, which is a joke of a news service, and I had to alert everybody on my staff, we don't use WND material because World Net Daily is a joke. It's not a news service. It's a propaganda service. And this guy Farah is offering 10 G's. On top of everything else, you're one cheap creep. You know that, man? I mean, that's worth about 100 grand as far as I'm concerned. And if you get that price up, I'll come in and tell you I was there. I was 9, but I was there.
Was you there?
No, I wasn't there.
Phil and...
I want to get back to Jay Goat.
Phil and...
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number, and Twitter at twitter.com/RealPhilHenry. Go on over there and hit follow when you see us, and you can follow along and watch as Rance and Ralph are talking to each other tonight. Bud and Robert have both been told they got to stay off the computers tonight and get outside and play catch, play some basketball, go swimming, get the hell out of here. And also you can visit our website, philhenryshow.com, where we are very close to having... downloads of this show available, live streaming available, and on Monday, we're finally putting a camera in for our webcasts. So by the end of this month, we're going to have this show available as a podcast, and you can download it, and then you can share it with anybody you want, man. That's how we play the game. That's how we roll here. I don't know about anybody else, but that's how we've figured out how we're going to do things here. You go ahead and get on the site, and you can download the show and do whatever the hell you want with it from our site, you know. Hopefully. All right. The news is it's official. John and Kate, guess what? They're going to get a divorce. That's reality, baby. That's the reality game. They're getting a divorce, and that's all there is to it. And as the man said, whoever that guy was in Goodfellas, you remember he said, he's gone. He's gone, and there was nothing that we could do about it. He's gone, man. They're gone. The source says that Kate recently met with a divorce lawyer. Another source told Radar Online that the couple had previously agreed to separate by July. Anyway, TLC, the Learning Channel, isn't that what it's called? The Learning Channel released video early Thursday teasing that a major announcement was coming. And while many have speculated that it centered on the couple splitting up, Radar Online has learned exclusively, good for you guys. The stars of John and Kate Plus 8 have, quote, unwittingly used reality television to broadcast the reality of an unraveling marriage, end of quote. I don't know how they figure it's unwitting. And they've done it with record ratings this season as media frenzy around the battling couple has grown in recent weeks, including the past weekend when John and Kate spent their 10th wedding anniversary apart. There was also a problem with, you know, people were saying, well, these children, why are they using these children this way? And is this in keeping with the labor laws? And are the children being paid? And, you know, there's all kinds of laws protecting kids when it comes to television and movies. I don't know where the hell they filmed this thing or whether the laws in that state... have anything to do with this, but there is a union and there are trusts that could be set up for the kids, so it isn't like the kids are getting screwed ultimately. I mean, when they turn 18, they should have a big chunk of change waiting for them. There's only one problem with that. You can open up a trust for a kid, right, and someone, I think either parent or maybe both, can be designated as the guardians and the managers, and they can withdraw the money that they feel they need to support the child. And a lot of kids have been ripped off that way since these laws took effect. Kate previously took the sextuplets on vacation to North Carolina without John. So the bottom line is, this is a reality show, so there's reality. They're getting divorced, okay? They're getting divorced, they have fights, the kids are getting screwed out of their money, and who knows, man, if we get any luck, maybe she'll pull a gun in the last episode and just say, oh, so you were talking to her too? Pow! And there you have yourself some reality, Jack. Apparently this douchebag was screwing around with, what does it say here? He was with some chick named Haley Glassman. He was caught with Deanna Hummel. Well, he's nothing but a turd. How do you like this guy? He's getting rich on off of cheating on his wife, huh? He's getting rich off of doing things that you or I, we'd wind up paying through the nose for the rest of our lives. Maybe he will too, but by God, whatever it is, whatever kind of deal he signed with these guys, including residuals and reruns and all that, he's going to be wealthy beyond his wildest dreams, even if she does tap him for half of everything. This guy was out scoring with other women under her nose. No wonder she's going to divorce you, you bum. And they spit 8 kids into the world, too. What does that tell you? Anybody want to comment on that? Here's a couple, got married, on TV. They're probably in love with themselves as much as they're in love with anything. And, oh, yeah, they spit 8 kids out into the world. And we're supposed to be happy for them. Well, that's fine, unless, of course, those 8 kids turn out to be something that we have to deal with down the road. Like, for instance, oh, I don't know, burglars, criminals, murderers, tax cheats, or maybe one of them runs some bank. Who knows? So what's the bottom line? When we do the arithmetic, what do we got? We got 8 kids. We got a bum, a wife who's divorcing him. They both made a lot of money, and maybe the kids will see some of that bread, and maybe they won't. This bum will go off with some other woman. So it'll be a broken home. It'll be a single mother household that everybody warns us against. And because it's a single mother household, all 8 of these kids are queer. All right.
Yeah, it's it, man.
Phil Thank Henry. You.